The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. We're getting ready for Passover. In this half hour of the show, we're going to have an interview with Sarah Levine, who has an organization called Jimena. It is, I guess the best thing to do is let her tell it what it does. But they're recounting the stories of Jews who were expelled from Arab lands, sort of like perpetuating the Judenreich of the Arab world. We got lots and lots of good music today. Let me tell you, this is like going to be a monumental day for music. The monologue in the second half of the story is going to be something really new and twist that we've never done here on the Jewish Hour before. A great Hasidic story, if we've got the time. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. After weeks of negotiations, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu formed a new coalition government just days ahead of U.S. President Obama's visit. The coalition includes three political parties: Netanyahu's Likud party, the centrist Yesh Atid, and far-right Jewish Home parties. Three-year-old girl was seriously injured as a truck veered out of the way of a group of Palestinians throwing stones on a highway near Ariel. Police arrested 10 terrorists in connection to the attack. IDF soldiers fired upon Arabs throwing rocks and firebombs at cars along a highway near Hebron. One man was killed and two others wounded. After the terrorists were shot, the soldiers searched the area and discovered a huge cache of ready-to-use firebombs. IAF pilots Noam Ron and Azer Flexer were killed when their Black Hawk copter malfunctioned. The rear rotor of the chopper stopped working as the two were returning from a training mission. Some interesting news here. Yitish Einoa, keep that name in mind now, remember this one in the future. Yitish Einoa, the first Miss Israeli of Ethiopian descent, has been invited to meet President Obama at a dinner hosted by President Shimon Peres. Einoa, 21, was crowned 2 weeks ago, was invited by Obama's advance team, which is in Israel, putting the finishing touches on plans for this week's visit. This is some disheartening news. Tel Aviv Mayor Ron Hulda canceled the Tel Aviv Marathon at the 13-mile mark after one man died and 30 people went to hospital suffering heat stroke and dehydration. Temperatures reached 96 degrees. This is 8:30 in the morning on the day of the marathon. The marathon was not postponed because of Obama's visit to Israel this week. And finally, probably goes into the irrelevant category, the student council at UC San Diego passed a resolution calling for boycotting firms with businesses' ties to Israel. The non-binding resolution, which means it really is totally irrelevant, is similar to recent resolutions passed by UC Irving and UC Riverside and names Boeing, General Dynamics Corporation, Hewlett-Packard, and others as organizations which the university should divest their portfolio of, and that's why it's really irrelevant. And that's the news.
Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Why go anywhere else when you can go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're online with Sarah Levine from Jimena. an organization telling the story of Jews from Arab lands. How are you today, Sarah?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank God. Could you tell us about Jemena, please?
So Jemena was created not long after September 11th. It was formed in San Francisco by a group of former Jewish refugees from Egypt and Libya and Iraq who decided that it was time to tell their stories, especially as the Second Intifada was raging on and the battle for Israel advocacy on college campuses was kind of blowing out of proportion. They knew that it was the appropriate time to tell what happened to them. Nothing had really been done beforehand to get their stories out. So,
okay.
Since then.
This is actually 12 years later, this is actually coming up now as news because people know about the Holocaust, which was perpetrated by Hitler during World War II, Yimach Shemo. But in the same vein, the Arab world, which had been a major host of world Jewry for millennia, is now pretty much all but, to coin the expression, Judenrein. There are no Jews that live in these countries.
Yeah.
So if
it's
you could
kind of amazing. Baghdad was 40% Jewish and Tripoli was 30% Jewish. And these communities existed for thousands of years. And, you know, they weren't just these small little villages and vast lands. They were established communities that were actually helping to lead some of these countries. So it's pretty, they have a very illustrious history.
Okay, so what is it, tell us why of Jemena. Tell us the how. How do you go about doing, spreading the word and telling people about the plight of Jews formerly of Arab lands?
So the core of Jemena is a speakers bureau, and the speakers bureau is composed of 40 people who were all born in Arab countries, and they all fled. And they travel around the world sharing their stories on college campuses. Our speakers have visited over 90 college campuses, and a couple of them have testified in front of the United Nations Human Rights Council and U.S. Congressional Human Rights Caucus, British Parliament. So really, whenever an invitation is extended for a speaker, whether it's, you know, a synagogue or community center all the way up to high levels of government, our speakers share their story. And then we also do cultural outreach programming, mostly in California. So we have, like, Mimuna celebrations, Mizrahi Shabbat dinners, all different kinds of cultural programming. And then we also started this oral history and the digital experience project in 2010 because with social media growing and the internet being such a huge form of communication, it seems like it's really like the best way for us to move forward and reach new audiences. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just reported on my, I don't know if you were listening, if you were on already when I was reporting the news, but one of the things that the thing that I closed off with, I call it my department of irrelevancy, actually was that in UCSD, there was a vote of the student council for the university to divest its portfolio of stocks that of businesses that deal with Israel's defense forces like Boeing and General Dynamics, etc. What is your organization doing to, say, combat, compel, educate people of the errors of such resolutions?
So we're working very closely with Israel student advocates, mostly in the Bay Area, and I'm sure you know UC Berkeley, UC Davis, many of the schools in the Bay Area, there have been huge BDS movements, and year after year, the students are constantly having to fight measures for the university to divest from Israel. So actually just last week, we met with Jewish student leaders and also leaders of the BDS movement. It was the first time leaders of the BDS movement came to a Jewish event on campus at Cal. And our speaker basically just told their story. We didn't get specifically into Israel, but they were introduced to a new chapter of history in Israel and in the Middle East. The story was sort of a catalyst to bring the Jewish students and the BDS students together. And I have to say, these were both hardline groups that really were able to find this common ground, a way to talk to each other. They had never even spoken to each other before. And then
This is fascinating. If you could let our guest, if you're just tuning in, is Sarah Levine. She's with an organization called Jimena, which is promoting and educating people about the plight of Jews who have been displaced from Arab lands. So if you could tell us more about this conference that you had between the two groups, and if you can...
It was a meeting. I mean, it wasn't really a conference, but the interesting thing is that Mizrahi Jews and Jews who come from Arab countries, they understand the culture and the language and the history. They're able to relate to Arab students in a really personal, unique way. They're able to bridge gaps between the majority of the Jewish students who are mostly, you know, Ashkenazi, Eastern European background. They're able to connect the two, and they're able to do it in a really non-threatening way, and it's helpful in building on, you know, positive communication and understanding and dialogue.
Okay.
And in addition to that, they're also able to share a part of, you know, of the Middle Eastern history that most Arab students don't know anything about. The Middle East was one of the most diverse regions in the world. There were Jews, there were Coptic Christians. I mean, there still are Coptic Christians. There's no Jews left. And many of these Arab students don't know the history of their own countries that their parents and grandparents came from. So.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Now, we have a very fine Holocaust museum here in Detroit, and one of the things, if you ask for a guided tour or go with a group, one of the things that they have is they have a Holocaust survivor speaking to people. And I'm very close with one of the docents, and one of they said about this part of the tour that they have is that Holocaust survivors are getting less and less because the Holocaust was 60 years ago. So we're talking now is whereas when 20 years ago when the Holocaust Memorial opened up, so the people who had gone through the Holocaust were in their 20s and 30s. Now they're dealing with people who are Holocaust survivors from their teens. So Israel was 1948, also 60 years ago. I know in Baghdad, a lot of Jews left right thereafter. Libya, Morocco, North Africa, all these countries in the early 50s, Jews left en masse. So the people who are displaced now, you're talking about an older generation, are you not, Sarah Levine?
Yeah, I'm talking about an older generation, but there are many Jewish people who left in 1967. Oh, actually, one of Jimena's co-founders, Gina Wildman, was born in Libya. She's a pretty famous human rights activist at this point. And she was 20 years old when she left Libya in 1967. So a lot of the Jews left, you know, in 1950, 1951, but there was also a wave in 1967 and again in the 70s. So it is an aging population, but there are people in their 60s and their 70s, and even in their 50s, who spent significant period of time in these countries.
Right. You don't sound like you're in your 50s or 60s or that you're actually born in North Africa or the Middle East. So
it wasn't.
Are you of Sephardic descent? Mizrahi descent?
My great grandparents came from Turkey, and that's definitely, I think, the root of why I've always been connected to this issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, tell us about, you have this project of the oral histories, which is a fascinating thing. It's kind of similar, sounds very parallel to Steven Spielberg's type thing, where he's like going around and recording every Holocaust survivor's story because he says, we don't want it to get lost. So tell us about your oral history project that Jimena is working on.
So I think that this oral history project has definitely been inspired by Steven Spielberg's Shoah Foundation and all of the other efforts all around the world to document the story of Holocaust survivors. We have so many wonderful models to build from. We're really, really lucky. And time is running out because, many people within this community are aging. So we're pushing really hard to collect as many stories as we can. Actually, I'm in Southern California right now. I've been collecting stories of Jews from Morocco and Iraq and Libya. There's so many stories that need to be told. Unfortunately, this group has never really been given an outlet to share their stories and have their stories distributed. So that's why this project was created. We started collecting testimonies in 2010. We've received a lot of guidance and a lot of support from a lot of wonderful people. We're really blessed to have a great team working on this. And we created the website project is a sort of online repository for select testimonies so people can from all over the world can come and and hear these stories because it is such a niche part of Jewish history, at least in North America.
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting. There are a lot of Jews from your focus area here in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
Because Detroit is, for some reason, attracted a large Arab population, and there's a lot of Iraqis here that live in Detroit. It's the only place I ever found a Chaldean. I never heard the word Chaldean until I moved to Detroit.
Uh-huh.
So if people want to get in touch with you and say, hey, I've got a story, Sarah Levine, how do they contact you, and what's your website?
So our website is www.jimena.org, and then through there they can just go to the contact form and send an email. And actually, I'm from Chicago, and we do have people all over the United States, and we're happy to give family members and friends the tools to document stories of their parents and grandparents. So it would be wonderful to start collecting stories from people in Detroit. I know there's a big Iraqi community there, and
mm-hmm.
hope to outreach there.
What does the word Jimena mean?
So Jimena is an acronym for Jews indigenous to the Middle East and North Africa.
Okay, that's good. I thought it was an Arab word. Okay, not much that I know. I mean, something like hope or transition or saving in Arabic. But run that by me one more time.
Jews indigenous to the Middle East and North Africa.
Okay, I got that one now. Okay, yeah. So There is one country in your focus region, North Africa, Middle East, et cetera, that still has a sizable Jewish community, and that's Iran. From what I understand, there's probably close to 30,000 Jews in Iran, and their plight is different than, say, the Jews of Iraq and North Africa, is because they can't go anywhere. They're stuck where they are. They are, as Ahmadinejad calls them, he calls them my Jews. You know, they're not going anywhere. So is Jimena somehow focusing on the plight of the Iranian Jewish people?
So, you know, there's actually really fantastic Iranian Jewish organizations in North America 30 years after the Iranian Jewish Federation. There's a lot of Persian Jews in the United States who are really doing a lot of work, I think, directly with the Jews in Iran, and in terms of advocacy, they're constantly in D.C., and they're constantly making sure that the community that's left in Iran is okay as much as they can. So we're sort of following their lead. If they want our support, we're happy to give it, but we don't have the resources, and we don't necessarily have the expertise to do much work on behalf of the Jews who are remaining in Iran.
Okay, understood.
So we're certainly, you know, we're the front and center in our mind all the time. And there's still the Jewish community in Tunisia, and there's still the Jewish community in Morocco,
yes.
And there's still the Jewish community in Turkey. So there are other countries in the region where there are Jews remaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also heard that the numbers from, I actually heard this quite recently, that the number of Jews from Iran is inflated by a long shot, that it could be as low as like 10,000. And the reason why is, this is all, you know, speculative, but the reason why is that the regime there has inflated the numbers to say that we have diversity, there still is a thriving Jewish community, but the numbers are shrinking constantly.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. One of the things that I know we're calling this a Holocaust, comparing it to the Holocaust. One of the things that the many Holocaust museums have is resource libraries. Does Jimena have a resource library?
We do. In our office, we have a library, and we're really lucky. All of the books that are in our library have been donated, which is wonderful, and we're building our library. And what we're really focused on right now is creating online resources and getting personal stories out online. Because we're in San Francisco, you know, we're kind of far away from the East Coast and the Midwest. The internet is just a wonderful tool in educating people and reaching new people, including in the Middle East and North Africa, because our websites are in Arabic too. So,
oh, that's also wonderful. So you have a way of conveying your message to the Arab countries in Arabic.
Yep. I mean, and it's a work in progress. Like any website, you know, they'll constantly be
updated,
developed, and expanded upon. And we have over 100 testimonies now, and I think we only have like 25 online. So, but they're all transcribed, and they will all also be archived in Hebrew University, so researchers in Israel can access the testimony.
Okay. I'd like to talk a little bit, and wrap things up over here. Jemena has been around for a little more than 10 years. Let's say in 10 years from now, you're going to look back at the last 20 years. What would you say that, or what would you speculate that Jemena would like to see as saying, looking back at the 20 years of its existence, that, yes, we are a successful organization, Sarah Levine?
I think that Jemena will be successful when every Jewish person knows what happened to Jews from Arab countries. And more than that, whenever the issue of refugees in the Middle East comes up, the issue of Jewish refugees is also brought up, because the Palestinians were not the only refugee group tonight, the only refugees that were made in 1948. There were close to 1 million Jews who had over four times the size of Israel's property taken from them. And they deserve recognition. Their losses deserve redress. So I think we'll know we're successful when this issue is part of dialogue related to the Middle East and North Africa, from the lowest levels of school all the way up to the highest levels of government. So this needs to be incorporated in all narratives.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Okay. Our guest has been Sarah Levine from Germany. Could you give us the website again, please, Sarah Levine?
Again, it's www.jemena.org.
Okay. We're going to thank you so much, and we hope that you will keep the Jewish Hour and its listeners apprised of the further goings-on of Jemena. Take
care.
Thank
you so much.
We're going to take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Herr Schulfen, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're now into the musical segment of our program. We reported, I don't know, about 2 months ago, that in honor of the second anniversary of the passing of Moshe Yess, that Sameach Records was putting together a compendium of star-studded compendium of songs of Moshe Yess. Well, that actually hit the stands this week. And so we're going to play Coming Home. It's a Moshe Yess song sung by Ari Kunstler. This is just for you.
Walking down a long road that started back then with Adam in the Garden of Eden. We were slaves in Egypt with a heavy load until God told Moses he was gonna give us our freedom. Coming home. Chosen people are gonna start coming home. Chosen people are gonna start coming home. Back to Canaan, milk and honey in the promised land. It's one big family reunion in the family of man.
our home, our land, our temple, and freedom. We lead through everything they could give us. By the hand of God, we're back with the plan to be coming home. Chosen people are gonna start coming home. Chosen people are gonna start coming home. Back to Canaan, milk and honey in the promised land. It's one big family reunion in the family of man.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Why, rather than have me go on and on and on and on and on and on and on, let's listen to Dave Tarris, the king of the klezmer clarinet. Du bist meine Scher. You are my song.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. 542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Fidman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more song. This is from the girls from Chicago. The girls from Chicago. No, we're not going to sing that. They wanted to hear Ben Snoof, who is an up-and-coming heartthrob of a voice, as I can hear. And he's singing Bowie Shalom, which is liturgical from the Friday night prayers, which says, come in peace. It welcomes in the Sabbath Queen. Let's listen to Ben Snoof.
בואי בשלום, עטרת בעלה, גם ברינה ובצהלה, תוך אמונם סגולה, בואי בשלום.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs.
Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. At the onset of the program, I promised that the monologue would be something unusual we've never done here on the Jewish Hour. But I won't swear to that. I think maybe we did this once, maybe 15 years ago. I'm not sure. When I was preparing my monologue, which I wanted to speak about Passover and get some insights into the Haggadah. So, of course, the easiest place to go is online. And I came across Chaim Miller, who is, we've had him on our show maybe half a dozen times, is a wonderful educator, orator, and author of Hasidic insights into various different things that he's done, the Gutna Chumash, the Slater Haggadah, the Megillah, the Rambam's Maimonides Book of Mitzvahs. So I found an online video of him explaining an insight into the Haggadah, which is something I actually was trying to think about along these lines. So rather than me saying them, why don't we listen now to Chaim Miller?
We have two lines. The children ask four questions on the first night. And then we read the whole Passover Haggadah to answer the questions. And then along we come a second night, and they ask the very same questions again. And we answer them again. And so the obvious question is, well, you know, we just answered that last night. Why are you asking the same questions again and giving the same answers? So there's something very profound here. And that is that there's something, in Judaism, there's something very sacred about a question. We value questions for themselves. Even though we answered you last night, we want you to ask again. The Haggadah itself takes its name from the question and answer process. There's a biblical mandate to read the Haggadah in response to the question of a child. The Torah says, "V'higadata levincha," you should tell over to your child. That's where the word Haggadah comes from. Very beautiful. We don't just celebrate our freedom, we celebrate it as we are communicating to the children, and the child must ask questions. Why are questions so holy? Surely in a religious experience, a question would ring of doubt. It might even ring of heresy. How dare you question religion? How dare you ask questions? But in Judaism, we encourage questions, and actually we sanctify them. The whole Haggadah experience is based on asking questions. Why is that? There's a very simple reason, and that is that the question signifies interest. It means that the person is engaged. The child's engaged, he's interested. I heard a very beautiful story of a lady in England who tragically lost her parents in the Holocaust. She was part of the Kinder Transport, where many children were saved. And she grew up in England, she married a Jew, and as fate would have it, her husband started becoming more observant. And as the years went by, he got involved with Chabad, and he was hooked up with a meeting with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he asked his wife, you know, would you like to join me? And she said, yeah, sure, I'd like to join you. I will tell the Rebbe what I think of his God and what I think of his religion. Because obviously she was very, very disappointed and understandably very upset with God and with Judaism. She went to the meeting with the Yechidut, with the private audience with the Rebbe, and she let her emotions loose. I actually heard this from her firsthand story from her psychotherapist in London. And she let loose her emotions and said that, you know, how could God do this? And you know, she unloaded her pain to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe sat and listened patiently. And at the end, he said to her, "I'm glad you're angry, because your anger is a connection. The way you are connecting to God is through anger." So in Judaism, and it's a very beautiful story, because, you know, sometimes we look at questioning religion as being irreverent, as being heretical, as being wrong. But Judaism doesn't look at it like that. We encourage the children to ask questions.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts, located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got a little bit of time. Things seem to just be that way. The time just stretched out a bit. So we're going to talk a little bit about the portion. Somebody actually commented, sent me dropped me an email on www.rabbifinman.com, where right on the homepage you can just click on the contact us part, and said, "We like when you explain the insights into the Torah too. Pesach is good, but please keep the portion apprised. Keep us apprised of what's doing in the portion of the week." So I can do that this week. I can't do it next week because there is no portion next week, so you'll have to excuse me. But anyway, so this week is a portion of Tzav. It can be found in the book of Leviticus chapter 6 and following. One interesting insight, which I want to bring to light, is in discussing of sacrifices that were brought for personal consumption. Many sacrifices, like it talks about in last week's portion, there was the Ola, which was completely burnt, which is called a burnt offering because it's totally burnt. There was a sin offering and a guilt offerings where parts of it were burnt and parts of it went to the Kohanim, to the priests. But then you have a sacrifice, like for example, if a person was having a party, like a wedding or something like that, something, you know, big magnanimity, and wanted it to lend a certain, like, somberness to it, like, you know, seriousness to it. So they put on the invitation, "We're having shlamim for the meal, peace offering. Make sure you go immerse yourselves in a mikveh before you come to the party." And then people could sit and they would party and they would have this sacrificial meat, and it would really be like a whole nuance to it. There's a big discussion of what to do with the leftovers. Sacrifices could only be eaten for a limited amount of time, which is a good thing because, you remember, back then they didn't have refrigeration. And the fact that they encouraged people to get on with it and get rid of this stuff after a 24 or 36-hour period of time, depending on which sacrifice. And a person who consumed it after that time was, we're talking deep problems over here. This is like major transgression, consuming sacrificial products after the allotted time. So it says that it had to be burnt. Interesting thing. What do? You make a barbecue, okay? You got one of these steaks on the bone over there, and you have all of the, you sat down, you chowed down, and you ate the meat, and you got this little pile, you got the bones and the gristle and the fat that you're not eating. What do with it? You take it, you scrape it into the trash, you throw it away, and everybody lives happily ever after. You got a dog, maybe you give it to the dog. Here, the leftovers of the sacrificial meat, the leftovers of the sacrifices, had to be treated with the utmost respect. This is for all intents and purposes. It's called the noiser, the leftovers, the garbage. But it's not just the garbage. It's a sacrifice. Okay, so you can't eat a bone. We don't have teeth that go through cow femurs. And we really can't do anything with it. But you can't just say, oh, we're done. I'm finished. I did it. I'm done. I don't need it anymore. I don't have to worry about it. Finished. No. Even the leftovers, even the trash has to be treated with the utmost respect. We talk about the book of Leviticus being a lesson book for today as well. It's all very well and good. Okay, Mashiach is going to come, and the third temple in Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt, and we will reinstitute the animal sacrifices, and we will live happily ever after. But what are we learning from the book of Leviticus till then? Very important thing. A person serves God. And we think, what am I serving God with? I'm serving God with my strengths, with my talents, my God-given abilities. And I'm up in the morning, as it says in the Code of Jewish Law, that a person should wake up in the morning and jump out of bed like courageous like a lion and bold like a leopard and swift like a deer and light like an eagle to go serve God. And I'm doing everything I possibly can. What happens at some point during the day is we just say, I have to stop for a moment, or I have to stop. We get to the end of the day, and we say, that's it. So you might think, you know, this is called downtime, when I'm not doing, accomplishing. No. That's not garbage. You're not throwing that away. Treat your downtime also as sacred. I am taking a break so that I'm going to sleep. I'm going on vacation so that I can go back and face the challenges of the day and accomplish what needs to be accomplished. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back. Don't go away. Exciting Hasidic story. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way, rabbifinman.com. Missed something of The Jewish Hour? Want to hear it again? Show that you missed 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? Rabbifinman.com. Want to see insights into the portion of the week? Rabbifinman.com. We have it in two media, in print and in video. Want to give a very important donation to The Jewish Hour? RabbiFinman.com. Go to RabbiFinman.com right now, except if you're driving, wait till you get done driving. It's all very safe and secure. It's via PayPal. And pick a number, any number you like. Any number is good from 1 till infinity. All donations are accepted gladly, graciously, and acknowledged as such. Don't like using the internet as a medium for paying any type of donation. I understand. People get a little nervous about identity theft. Well, send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. The story today involves a group of soldiers who were stationed near Lubavitch in the 1840s. Jewish soldiers that had been conscripted into the Tsar's army, and they liked actually being billeted near Lubavitch because this afforded them a chance to be near a Jewish community. They could get kosher food, they could get off time for Friday night to go for Shabbos, this type of stuff. The word came out that they got their marching orders. They were going to march this unit from White Russia to Central Russia. Oh, man, it must have taken years to march these soldiers. And why they were doing that, I don't know. And why couldn't they just stick them in carriages? No, these are soldiers. It's like it says, you can't ask questions about a story. And they were very concerned because the holiday of Passover was coming up, and they were going to be in the middle of the wilderness someplace. So one of them went to the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitch Rebbe, and asked what we should do. So he told them, you should go to your captain and suggest another route, which will take you through various cities. And that way, it'll be a shorter route, and that way you'll be able to spend time for the holidays. He says, now you're going to get to Shklov, one of these cities east of Grosse Pointe Farms, before Passover. So I want you specifically, you're going to be invited. Do not spend any time after the Seder. Go to a synagogue called the Green Synagogue and sleep there. And then for the last days, you're going to get to Molyov, which is some district someplace, and you're going to be invited again, but tell your host that you'd rather sleep in the community house. He said, okay, fine. So they approached the captain. The captain gave his consent. He thought it was a great idea. They found themselves in Shklov, and he went to the Seder, had a wonderful time, came back to the Green Synagogue, and found a man crying there. And he asked them, what are you crying about? So he told them that he was an old widower, and recently he had gotten married to a younger woman. And after a short time, a group of musicians came, a klezmerin came into town, and one of them caught her eye, and she ran off and took all of his money and left him penniless, destitute, and unable to get married again because they needed to get a bill of divorce, and he was just miserable. Sounds like the theme of a country song now, doesn't it? Well, they were in the country after all, the Shklov. And a man, he consoled them and told them, listen, I'm marching through, tell me what they look like. And he described what this pair looked like and said, if I see them, I'll see what I can do. When they arrived in Molyov, it turned out that he was falling asleep in this guest house after the holiday meal, and suddenly there's this whole commotion. There was a whole troop of klezmerim, of these musicians that came into the guest house. And he went downstairs to see the commotion. He saw a couple sitting there that matched the description that this old man had given. So he ran to the rabbi's house, pounded on the door, expressed his apologies for waking him up at this hour after the holiday, and told him the whole story about the old man and said that the couple is in the guest house and what should be done about it. So the rabbi actually went to the police. The two were arrested. His fortune was recovered. And after the holidays, they were transported back to Shklov, where the woman granted her husband a bill of divorce. It's not the best ending for a story, but like I said, you can't ask questions on a story. So in this case, I guess they did live happily ever after. So we're going to back out graciously. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We're glad you did. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope your preparations for Passover are coming along royally. Don't get excited. Don't get upset. Like my grandmother used to say, we'll all sit down to the Seder together. So happy preparations. We'll see you again next week. Take care.